Let's take a first look at what it says in this morning's newspapers with John S. Doyle.
The car bomb in Derry last Saturday night is a depressing reminder of a fragile peace, so says the Irish Independent in an editorial. It sent a shudder right across this island, far greater than the physical impact of the bomb, says the Irish Examiner. The incident comes, the Independent says, at a time of deep crisis over Brexit, which in turn raises real concerns about the return of a visible border between Dundalk and Derry. The paper is critical of what it calls the North's two-year-old political vacuum, the failure of the DUP and Sinn Féin to get over their difficulties and put the power-sharing institutions back on track is nothing short of criminal, says the paper. The Examiner comments that there can hardly be a more pressing argument for the North's political parties to reopen Stormont, so that political vacuum beloved by terrorists might be ended. The ambush at Solohead Beg in County Tipperary 100 years ago today, in which two members of the Royal Irish Constabulary were shot dead by a group of Irish volunteers led by Dan Breen and Sean Tracy, was controversial at the time, and there are still divided views about its justification. That's according to an editorial in the Irish Times. Apart from the brutality of the killings, the writer says, the absence of any form of authority for the action troubled some members of the First Doyle, who feared that the armed wing of the independence movement might not be amenable to political control. There is much celebration in the papers of the inaugural public meeting of Doyle Éireann, which also took place on this day 100 years ago. Ryle Dwyer writes in The Examiner that the opening of an independent parliament in Dublin was overshadowed by the unsanctioned ambush in Tipperary. The Independent carries articles by the historians Fergus O'Farrell and Conor Mulva. The Irish Times has a full supplement on 1919, which takes in everything from the Treaty of Versailles to the Limerick Soviet. Back in the present, the Irish Times reports on its front page that the UK's Prime Minister, Theresa May, will tell MPs today how she plans to proceed with the UK's departure from the European Union. Downing Street dismissed a report that she would propose replacing the Northern Ireland backstop with a bilateral treaty between London and Dublin, the paper says. The Times Ireland edition, meanwhile, reports that Mrs. May told ministers that she would seek to change or remove the Irish backstop, despite repeated refusals by Brussels to give ground on the issue. She told her cabinet that she would focus on winning over rebel Tory MPs and the DUP, the paper says. Water is the subject of the Irish Examiner's lead story. Under plans to be approved by the Cabinet tomorrow, households which excessively use or waste water will be given a year to reduce their consumption before they face being fined. Daniel McConnell reports that up to 80,000 customers who are likely to use more than the permitted generous annual allowance face being fined up to €260. The Irish Daily Mirror reports on the ferryman in Howth, County Dublin, Mark Doyle, who pulled a driver out of his car as it sank in the harbour there yesterday. A number of papers carry a report by Brian Hutton that the National Transport Authority has been criticised by a variety of public figures, language activists and a minister for its refusal to spell Irish names properly on public transport passes. Hutton's story makes the lead for the Irish Daily Mail. He reports that the authority is blaming technical limitations for not including the father on names of commuters using LEAP cards. The broadcaster Blonat Ní Chufi, who has two fathers in her name, described the explanation as rubbish. The singer Liam O'Mahony, who also has two, said pretty much all printing technology has the capacity to print fathers. There is no excuse.
John, thank you. It's 11 minutes past 7 now on Morning Ireland.